Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter is beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Postseason is behind us. Off-season is ahead of us. We are here doing a Hot Lava Podcast because, once again, the Padres have parted ways with a manager. All sorts of different ways that managers have left here, being fired, going on for another job, retiring, but it's been every 2 years since 2019. Ryan, where do you want to start?
Well, I guess Mike Schilt was right on schedule then. This is different than many of the others, I believe, Kevin, in part because of the reasoning Mike Schilt gave. And I think before we really get into the nitty gritty here, I would encourage if you are listening or watching, stop, go read Kevin Acey's story on the Union Tribune's website right now. We'll be waiting for you when you come back. Hit pause. We'll be here. And then we can talk this through, because I think we can talk all day about this, but it won't express it clearer or better than Kevin's story did. That will appear, if you're a print newspaper person, that will appear in Thursday's UT. Mike Schilt sent you an open letter, Kevin, and it said, "I'm retiring from the Padres and I'm stepping away, and here's why." Let's start there. This is not the decision. Not normal people don't necessarily walk away from that amount of money and that amount of prestige. So why did Mike Schilt decide to do it?
So I'm really glad that you started there, because I want to just take that and I want to take it at face value before we go on. And I think of all people to say that we can take it at face value, since I knew there was something more to the story when I got the open letter. And when I talked with Mike the first day, which was Sunday, I take him at face value. There's a lot of things that can be true. Mike Schilt retired. Mike Schilt is tired. He holds himself to a high standard. We'll get into later how he holds other people to a high standard and how they're related. He is a perfectionist. He internalizes expectations of others in addition to his own expectations. It just was too much. Also, yes, you're right. Quote unquote, normal people don't do this. Well, Mike Schilt is unmarried, has no children, is not responsible for anybody's college tuition. He's 57 years old. His house is paid off, lives in North Carolina. He was a manager for, from the middle of 2018, 19, 20, 21 with the Cardinals, was being paid by the Cardinals in 2022 when he was a special advisor for the Padres. Then was a special advisor for the Padres, and the last 2 years has been the manager of the Padres and has made upwards of $3 million in the last 2 years alone. Mike Schilt's a simple man. He's fine. He's fine. That is, there's no reason to believe otherwise financially. So, you know, he's in a different situation than a lot of us. So kudos to him for that. There is, of course, a lot of layers to this onion.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you say high up in the story that's on our website right now is Mike Schilt was worn out. Mike Schilt also wore people out. And I think that that's where I'd like to go to now. This is somebody, and Kevin, you've talked to him at length about some of these criticisms and some of these other things. But a lot of your reporting and what it said today was he held everybody to the same impossible standard that he held himself. And as a result, people fell short pretty often. That did not foster necessarily the best of relationships between Mike and some of the people who work in the Padres organization.
Right. I think that's fairly said. And obviously, I think a lot of genius, a lot of high achievers set impossible standards. And then what happens is they go out and they win 93 games and they're, you know, one win away from eliminating the Dodgers in the 2024 National League Division Series. And a lot of people thought they were one of the two best teams that year. And okay, so like you shoot these impossible standards, you know, And you highly achieve. And Mike Schilt won at least 90 games in all four of his full 162 game seasons. He took a team to the playoffs all five of his full seasons, which includes the COVID shortened 2020 season, which ended with, by the way, the Padres beating Mike Schilt's Cardinals at empty Petco Park. Mike Schilt won a lot. You can read that story. You can hear us talk about how he was hard on people. And your initial reaction can be, well, what's wrong with that? Yeah. We've had, you know, a lot of hard-nosed guys, right? And it's the big leagues. And if you're at a high level, and I'm not going to argue with you in theory, because guess what? I'm one of those guys. That's what I respond to. I came up in an age, I'm even a little older than you, Ryan. I came up in an age in the newspaper business where they said, I can't say here, I don't think. Maybe we're free to cuss. But I can't say how insulting and the volume at which I was told my stories were trash. Okay, I'm not going to put myself in another person's shoes who's being belittled, yelled at, not constantly, I don't want to be unfair here, but routinely, at least in their eyes, told that they're not doing a good enough job. Whether or not they are, that's not where I'm at. What I'm talking about is I'm not going to tell another person, buck up. It's okay. It's okay to be treated like that. You can have that reaction, but then you know, where you're like, those people, they're just not tough enough. That's the problem with America today. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You have to take into context, Mike Schilt was fired in St. Louis after a third straight playoff appearance for the same reasons. And right. Then you have to start saying, like someone told me once, if one person tells you you're a horse, you're probably not. If 10 people do, you should buy some hay.
Right. Yep. And you know why we know this was why he was out in St. Louis? Is because when you talk to Mike Schilt in his first year as a Padres special assistant, he told you.
He answered about what at the time were rumors, right?
Right, right, right. And he said, and you quote him from that story in this story, in saying that, you know, if he had another chance to be a manager, he'd back off a little. And it certainly appears that he didn't.
I want to make it clear that he did say that. I also want to make it clear, and not to say that, wow, what a great reporter I am, because I'm not, but that he was at that time to acknowledge that he had done anything that needed any sort of tweaking. That right. took a lot of questioning by me and pointing out, well, this is what I hear and this is what I hear. And I'm, you know, and it took a lot. He also said at the same time that he was saying he would back off, he justified why he acted the way he did. He downplayed and justified why he acted the way he did. And again, I'm the kind of guy who maybe, I don't know, but I know that I've worked for and with people somewhat like Mike. And I know Mike as well, almost as well as I've known anyone that I've covered. And certainly got to know him a lot over the 6 months of what ultimately was reporting on this story, right? Like, I heard some people talk about how it was that it was a hit piece, or that, you know, like, of course this comes out after. I'm sorry, but if you want to use some common sense and think that story could be put together in 36 hours, I'm sorry. Like, that didn't happen. This was an ongoing situation where I said to myself, okay, it sounds like there's some turmoil in the working environment. Okay, investigate that. All right, find out some more. Meanwhile, Padres are winning. No one's really too upset. This is the big leagues. And it really didn't feel like a story until it was a story. And that was Mike Schilt retired. There's more to this story. There's probably more to this story even than we know now. And I keep talking to people, and Mike draws something of a straight line. And I want to emphasize, this was not the only reason he left, but the stress of feeling like he had to pick up the slack, he had to coach everything. And I'm not saying he said that at all. I'm just saying that the overwhelming desire and being consumed by wanting to win and wanting to meet everyone's expectations and wanting to fulfill all obligations, real and perceived, wore Mike Schilt down. And this is a part of it, how he manages up and how he manages down. We haven't touched on something here, Ryan, and that is that we are not talking about his relationship with the players. Right. That is, as far as we know, And was, as far as we know, in St. Louis, the same, excellent. And then the results are, besides that, that's what players say, and sometimes we can discount what people say, but the results show that Mike Schilt got a lot out of his teams, his players.
Yep. Mike Schilt's time in San Diego, I think in 5-10 years, we will look back and say they won a lot of games, and he was able to piece together a fractured clubhouse when mm-hmm. Bob Melvin left. I think mm-hmm. he was the right guy at the right time for them in terms of what needed to be done in the clubhouse itself.
Great point. And did need to be done with the coaching staff. It did need to be done with the front office. And yes, give Mike Schilt, and that's in my retirement story. It's in the story that we're talking about here. The place that he took over, and that it is better now. And no one would deny the Padres are in a better place now, and that Mike Schilt played a big role in that. No one would deny that at all. And you know, that's it. I say this a lot. Like, we live in this world that is black and white. So you find out that Mike Schilt yells at someone and does it regularly, and you have a reaction, Mike Schilt, bad guy. Or you have a reaction, you know, coaches, wusses. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's gray, man. I happen to think that my wife is one of the finest women to have ever walked this planet. But man, does she drive me crazy sometimes. Right. There is gray in our lives, folks. You talked to John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations until just recently of the Cardinals. He's the man who hired Mike Schilt as a scout, kept promoting him, hired him as a manager, and fired him as a manager. John Mozeliak knows everything about, and by the way, since I'm talking about him, need to say that John Mozeliak has never broken his silence publicly or to a reporter, so he's not one of my sources. But John Mozeliak knew everything about Mike Schilt, fired him for a reason, and I believe wholeheartedly, based on conversations that I have had with him, he respects the hell out of Mike Schilt. I believe AJ Preller respects the hell out of him. I believe that some of the coaches that felt that they were not in a good working relationship or weren't given respect, weren't allowed to be all they could be, when, by the way, Mike thought that's what he was trying to help them. There's a disconnect there. But some of those guys who had discord with Mike respect the hell out of him. There's gray in life.
Right. And again, he painted it to you. And I think that I'm willing to take him at face value on this, that any lines he crossed wasn't personal, wasn't vindictive. It was, he's trying to pull this sled to a World Series championship, and he thinks he has to do it by himself. Right.
He thinks he has to do it by himself, or I think more accurately, and I'm, he just needs everybody to do it the right way.
Right.
And then Mike has a way of telling you how to do it the right way, and then how to tell you that you did it the wrong way. And this is a theme you hear over and over. And I can tell you from my conversations with Mike, not just in reporting this story and some very difficult, contentious conversations that we had to have. I'm talking about over the last 4 years of knowing him. Mike doesn't think he did anything wrong. Mike believes in how Mike operates. I have a certain amount of respect for that, in that a lot of high achievers are that way. Believe it or not, face it or not, accept it or not, a lot of high achievers, people in history books that we revere because they were 100 years ago and we didn't know them, had some pretty bad personality traits. So you got to have a certain amount of respect for that kind of off base behavior. If someone's saying, I don't know what you mean. I mean, I'm just trying to get the best out of everybody. Look what I'm doing. I'm working 16 hours a day. I'm doing it this way. I'm making these notes. I'm doing this. And they don't necessarily understand. But I'm telling you, of the more than 20 people at this point now, because I've gotten feedback today, a lot of people in the Cardinals, included, so incredibly similar, everybody, the way they talk about him, in that it goes like that to a bad place, for lack of a better term, and then comes back to the Mike that you see being congenial, the Southern guy, you know, with all that. Like, and I will say this, like, it felt like a lot of people felt like they were in something of an abusive relationship with Mike. And let's keep that in context, Ryan. I'm trying to make light of real like abuse, but also let's not minimize what people have gone through when you have someone treating you in a certain way. And that's all I want people to try to understand as you make this judgment about it's the big leagues. Oh, Mike's a winner. 100%. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere in two organizations. And by the way, you can be, and I know a lot of Padres fans are, and some of it's rightly so. You can be like, the Padres, typical Padres. The freaking St. Louis Cardinals are one of the winningest franchises in the history of baseball. And that is fairly recent too. So we're talking about two different places where the same man had the same effect on people. And that speaks volumes.
I think it does. I think it does. And I mean, to me, there's a sadness associated with this, that, this is anybody who's ever dreamt of a life in baseball has probably thought about being a manager. There are only, Kevin, you and I talk about this all the time. There's only so many of these jobs available and they only come open every once in a while. This is the dream job. And he has had two dream jobs. First with the Cardinals, and then he got a second chance when not a lot of managers in his situation would. And he gets a second chance, and it's a replay of what happened the first time around. To me, there's a sadness there that he couldn't enjoy the success, that he saw excitement about the Padres as pressure.
A
fan could say, hey, we're looking forward to the World Series parade, slap him on the back. And he would internalize that as saying, well, now they expect me to win a World Series. No, it's just somebody's excited about the baseball you're playing. And that's the sadness in this. And not to paint him as too sad a character here, because some of the stuff that's in your reporting, he does come off as a demanding boss. But to me, it's sad that he had this in his hand twice and is walking away from it because maybe he doesn't like the person he becomes in that role.
Think about the pressure he felt as the steward of the Cardinal Way.
Yeah.
He believed in, very, very strongly. And then the pressure to bring that first championship and fulfill Peter Seidler's vision. Now, listen, I want to make sure I say this. Mike Schilt cared about people and he cared about his coaches. And that was confusing to a lot of people that were experiencing it too, because he spent a lot of time trying to help people become better at their jobs, realize their goals. And that there is that side of him. That's why I want to argue that the gray, right? Mm-hmm. Like, There was that side of him. He really, I talk about in the story how he brought the staff to San Diego last offseason, twice actually, workshops sort of. And a part of this was them letting him know what their career goals were so that he could in turn help them reach their career goals. But as it was explained to me by somebody else that knows Mike and knows the situation, when he does that, and you tell him that you want to be whatever, mm-hmm. then he's going to apply Mike Schilt's understanding of what it takes to become that. And if you don't have any interest in doing that, mm-hmm. hit the road.
Right.
It reminded me of when this man, when I was 12 years old and he saw me play baseball and he had played minor league baseball and he wanted me to come out and he didn't have any kids and he wanted to go to the park and teach me some more fundamentals and take my game to the next level. And I wanted to ride my bike with my friends. And, he was like, to me at the time, mad, hurt. And it's like, hey, I'm just a kid. Like, I mean, that's how I process it. Like, hey, that's on me. Not on Mr. Stewart. This is what it's going to take, kid. And you didn't do it. Right. And that's how Mike Schilt learned and how he was taught. You have that in your, I've had that with mentors at work. And when I found my calling of being a sports writer, Never said that out loud. That's kind of sad. No. And I would do whatever those guys asked. Right. Mm-hmm. That's why I say I like, okay. But you know, you have to, I know people that are, I was a terrible manager, Ryan, like you're a good manager. You deal with your employees in different ways that you have to deal with them. I know people that are managers and you have to deal with each of them in a certain way. Now there's a standard, and that's what Mike Schilt will tell you. There's a standard and you've got to reach that standard. And I get it. But you also have to learn how to do it in an effective way. And many would argue pretty damn effective.
Yeah.
It wears out. It wears out.
And baseball is a different animal. And I think that this is worth discussing. Kevin, you've covered football. I've covered football, right? There's a football mentality in terms of every game matters. Every game counts for 10 baseball games, right? There's a football mentality of we're going to do this right. And if I have to throw a chair across the room to get you to listen to me, that's what I'm going to do. That said, this goes beyond stuff you've witnessed covering football throughout your life. This is a different sport, and a lot of proximity, a lot of guys on top of each other for 6 months, and a lot of games. It's just maybe what might work in another sport doesn't work in baseball.
This is true. And the one thing that I'll say about that is, like, and I noticed it from the start. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to Mike about it and talk to other people about it. So I did. When the kids were growing up, I stepped away from baseball and I was covering the NFL. And one thing you notice at the end of a football game, a head coach is wiped out, especially if it's Norv Turner, Mike McCoy, maybe not Marty Schottenheimer so much, because his coordinators were doing all the work and he was just ranting and raving up and down the sideline for the cameras. But Norv Turner, Mike McCoy, guys who are also calling plays, they are spent at the end, right? Like, it's just a lot. And the coordinators would be spent. It was 3 hours of just mental focus and just pulling things out and just everything you had once a week.
Yeah.
Mike reminded me almost after almost every game of the NFL coaches I coached. So that's times 10. Instead of 16 games, which is what it was when I covered the NFL, 162, just spent. I often argued that, like, right after the game was not the time for Mike Schilt to do his press conference. He was not in a mental state to do it at that time. He had just given everything he had to manage that game and try to get his team to win on the margins and all that. It was incredible for me to watch.
Yep. In the media, you know, we try not to insert ourselves into stories. But you do mention in the story that's on our website right now that his postgame press conferences became sort of must-see TV for a lot of people in the organization, not necessarily because of the answers, but because of the tone and because of what would happen when he was questioned about things or how he might take a certain question. You know, Kevin, fair or not, a lot of those questions, most of those questions came from you. Your relationship with him in that setting, you know, do you think that was an early indicator to maybe people outside of the clubhouse and outside of Petco Park that he was that guy, that driven,
you know, it seemed
guy?
Like it was. It seemed like it was. I didn't put it together as quickly. I just think that maybe some people on the outside, fans, they often equate what happens in a news conference to, like, real life. And it's not, yeah, right? It's not. Like, I'm never going to try to take over a press conference to get into a thing with a manager. I do that if it's necessary off camera. A manager generally is on his absolute best behavior, you know, right? Like, and is giving the concise and diplomatic or whatever that manager's personality is. He's doing that. And it's not the real life hanging out in the clubhouse or the dugout or along the first baseline or behind the batting cage or whatever talk, right? Like, but a lot of fans started to notice that. I didn't put it together that quickly and here's my philosophy. I don't care how you treat the media. Mm-hmm. I don't. Manny Machado's not very nice to the media. Mm-hmm. I love covering him. I love once you get through all the garbage that he has to do to kind of make you play games and dance. Great answers. Primarily, he made the team I cover better, which made it more relevant, which made my coverage more relevant. I love covering Manny Machado. Do not care. I don't think it's cool what he does sometimes, but do not care.
Right.
Unless the way you deal with the media is a window into how you deal with other people. And right. It became apparent to me that, oh, wow, this is one of those cases. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely correct. Like, There was this trend in the media a while back, and I'm not saying it was all wrong. I mean, if you own a 7-Eleven, you want people to come into it, right? Mm-hmm. If you own a hardware store, you want people to come buy your stuff. You know, the media wants people to watch and read, right? That's kind of like be consumers. So it became like, let's put the media guys out there more, right? Mm-hmm. Man, do I miss the days when no one knew what I looked like. It was Kevin Acey. I'd be in the store. Somebody be talking about my Angels coverage or whatever. And mm-hmm. they didn't even know they were standing right next to me. And that was great. Right. I not to say that I haven't gone out there and been a ham in public and stuff, but like, I prefer, you know that I do. You're the mm-hmm. one who inserted talk to the Union Tribune in my story yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that, but it was a part of the story because not only fans would constantly comment on his behavior in there, people in the organization would talk about it and it was troubling. And it was very, very much like the way that he would treat people that worked for him, people above him, people that were, adjacent to him, at the same level, kind of. I mean, just everyone around him, except no camera. Right. So make your own judgments about on whether it was worse or not.
Right. Well, and Kevin, look, we could talk all day about this. I know that you're limited on time and I'm limited on time a little bit, but I think it's important that we get a couple of these sort of rapid fire questions out. What role, if anything, did AJ Preller have in Shildt's decision to step away?
You can't say that it was nothing.
Right.
I'm gonna always be careful when I talk about the AJ Preller narrative because people have some pretty strong opinions and most of them are off base or flat out wrong. He's relentless. Mm-hmm. But so is Mike Shildt. So these guys were in some ways marriage made in heaven, but mm-hmm. sometimes those don't last. AJ Preller, in my opinion, was probably the best suited to weather Mike Shildt mm-hmm. because AJ kind of just doesn't care about doesn't care about the interpersonal because he has good relationships with people, but just doesn't care whether you like him or not. Just doesn't care. Like, okay, fine. Say you're whatever. Are you helping us win? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's who AJ Preller is. And so I that was also a part of as I was going through reporting on this, not knowing when I was going to do it. Is Mike going to get fired? Is what's going to happen here? I don't know. I was thinking to myself, and I've talked to people about it, like AJ Preller, I could see Mike lasting a long time with AJ Preller because AJ's just like, okay, well, hey, we won. Right. and I do think a lot of their philosophies lined up in terms of fundamentals, in terms of making sure that you're doing things right, giving yourself a chance to win on the margins. There are a lot of things that lined up. I don't know exactly that anyone can answer that question because of course, once something comes out, everyone's going to have their side for their guy about who was at fault with this or that. And that's just human nature. And that's why I feel grateful that I was reporting on this one on the ground floor. I didn't start making calls on Monday morning about this and getting people's hindsight views. I was reporting this almost in real time.
We, and I don't think I'm telling any secrets outside of school here, Kevin, the idea of Mike Shildt and the way he responded to questioning and some of the interpersonal stuff was something you made me aware of months ago, right?
I know which hotel room I was in.
Right. This isn't something you couldn't crank out a 2,500 word story in 6 hours based on stuff that you got. This was something that you had heard and tracked throughout the year. And the reality is this was a team that won 90 games. This was a team that made it to the wild card series was maybe a Xander Bogaerts called strike three away from maybe advancing. Right. that was not the time to write about this. This is the time to write about this.
There has to be a there, right? There has to be a there. I didn't write, I was aware of Bob Melvin and AJ Preller and reported on that for over a year. Right. They went to the NLCS in 22, issue pretty much done, right? Mm-hmm. All sorts of people don't get along. I don't cover the other 29 teams. I don't know exactly how it is, right? Okay, over the next year, things aren't going very well. Okay, but still, how's it affecting the team? What are players saying? What is this a big deal? Didn't report on it until there was there. And this was like about to blow up. This was affecting the team, and that's the time. This story was now because Mike retired, and his interpersonal relationships played a role in why was this job so, much, because that's what Mike Schultz said. And right. I'll tell you this, even without any of this, and I've talked to Mike about this, and AJ Preller talked about it too, in his Zoom call with reporters yesterday. You could just tell that he was beat down. You could tell. I didn't think he was retiring because it's not in my, initial reckoning of, oh, dude's going to walk away from $4 or $5 million. No, and he loves this game and he loves these players. And there's no way. But once I found out that he was, and I think AJ said something like this in the Zoom call, and I had already written it. I had to take it out of my story and give him credit for the quote, but that he was surprised but not shocked.
Right. Also, you know who else is tired at the end of the long baseball season, Kevin? Everybody. You, the radio guy, the equipment manager. I mean, baseball takes it out of you. And even by that standard, Mike Schilt, you say, seemed wiped out by the end of the season.
And it's almost like, look, he had so much more success. Look, he's the seventh winningest manager of any man who managed past 1951 and managed at least 750 games in Major League Baseball. He's the 20th winningest manager of all time among those who have managed at least 750 games. The man was highly successful, but he was a comet. And maybe we're seeing a little bit of why.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think his legacy, such as it is for somebody who managed 2 years? What do you think?
Legacy anymore, man. If social media had been around when Billy Martin was the manager,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's unfair in a lot of ways. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's also, well, it is what it is, right? Like, his legacy, it's a complicated one. He's a winner, that's for sure, right?
Yep.
He cared about his players. He did. A lot of people really like Mike. A lot of people that didn't have to deal with him and didn't work for him. Now, I'm not saying that nobody does. There are people that were sources in this story that worked for him, that loved him, that also acknowledged, so it's a complicated one, Ryan. I just don't know. And it bums me out that in some of these cases that his legacy will be different to a lot to different people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the people who care primarily about wins and losses and follow a franchise that hasn't won much of anything. We may look back. They may look back 5 years from now and go, 90 wins a season sounds kind of nice. But that's also not the people who would interact with the manager every day. I think it's hard to guess what the collateral damage might have been had he stayed also.
Brian, that is so insightful of you. There are people that a lot of people were wondering how they were going to do another season working with Mike anyway. And then since he retired, they've just been like, I just don't know how he could have done it. I don't know how we could have done it. And so there's that part, plus what would have happened with the coaching staff, what would have happened with the clubhouse, what would have happened with Mike. Like, that's where I want to say, because I do like Mike, and I would any human say, I really hope this goes well for you. I really do. And Mike has a lot to offer the game still. Probably not as a manager, but maybe. I mean, but he says not to. He vehemently says not that it would be in player development, which is his background, and which many people, even those who cheered his departure from the Cardinals, said they were in real good shape when Mike was, you know, running aspects of the Cardinal way down in their minor league system. So maybe that's where the future is. And because he obviously has a lot to offer.
Right. And Kevin, as you and I get a little bit older, I think we both really value self-awareness. Understanding that, you know, if I know who I am, flaws and all, I think that that makes me a better manager, a better person. You know, same with you. I will give Mike Shildt credit for being self-aware. I will give Mike Shildt some credit for saying, I can't do this again. I don't like the person I'm becoming. Well, he didn't say, I don't like the person I'm becoming. I need to be clear. But he said, you know, this is too hard for me. For my own well-being, I need to go away. I will give him some credit for that.
Because that's the ultimate. Along the way, it might have helped if he had stopped and said, hey, I need to figure out how to do this a little different. But I am 1,000% with you. As we sit here and we take at face value that Mike Shildt retired and walked away, and look, I've had hours of conversations with him in the last few days, and I do take him at face value, not saying there's not more to the story, but that I say, yes, kudos to you. He is not the first manager to have ever thought, man, if I could just get back on the farm, you know, I love being a manager. I love trying to win. I love the, you know, I don't say ego in a bad way, right? Like, there's ego involved. Like, and Mike had to battle through all that and make the decision to walk away. Kudos to him.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin, this is a good place to stop. I don't want to get into who the next manager might be. I don't want to get into what other changes are coming. I think that that's, as they say, that's another show. But thank you for jumping on. And again, if you have not read Kevin Acey's coverage of Mike Shildt and everything that goes along with it, visit Union Tribune, our website, and take a read. Pack a lunch. It's a lengthy story, but it's well worth your time. And again, Kevin, thank you for doing this. I know that it's been a long season already, and the off season promises to be just as busy.
Yeah, well, thank you for your help with the story. And we'll see you later.
Sounds good. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.